fluffy bread, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real. But Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Talk Pac-12 basketball. This is the Pac-12 Insider here on ESPN 700. The Pac-12 Insider is presented by Les Olson IT. Now for the latest on Pac-12 basketball, here's the Pac-12 Insider here on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
Well, to be fair, there's not a lot of Pac-12 basketball on the men's side still left and going. It's pretty much the UCLA Bruins and the UCLA Bruins. They'll play in the Sweet 16 coming up this week in Las Vegas, but we will talk some madness and basketball and more with our good friend and buddy, a former Pac-12, he was actually a Pac-10 to be fair, basketball player at Stanford University and a Fox Sports analyst, sometimes Pac-12 Network too, Casey Jacobson. What's up, Case?
Hey, Bill, man. It's really good to be on with you during the most wonderful time of the year, man. I love this tournament so much. It's delivered and then some. I am sad that UCLA is the only Pac-12 member remaining. But, man, they look really good. They look as good as anybody outside of Alabama in this tournament so far.
They played really well, and I'm not sure they'd be there if Adembona didn't play. He did, and it was a big difference. I mean, having him out there is huge. Hawkes and Campbell were great. And then they had some of the others step in and fill in. And Amari Bailey's playing some good basketball, too. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that matchup with Gonzaga. I think it'll be a good one.
Oh, me too. You mentioned Amari Bailey. I'm so pleased with his progress and how well he's been playing the last two games, not only scoring in double figures, which is what he does, but how about this? The last two games in the tournament, 6 assists in both of them. So a guy, you know, last year you remember – Jules Bernard and Johnny Juzang both started and both played similar roles. They were scorers. They were creators. They would help take some of the pressure off of Tiger Campbell. And I was a little bit worried that they would miss those guys. And Amari Bailey, the way he's playing right now, they don't miss him. And, you know, Jalen Clark's not playing. They miss him on the defensive end. But offensively, I really haven't noticed a difference at all. With Jalen Clark not being available, and it's because Amari Bailey's been awesome. Dylan Andrews, the freshman, got more minutes than he probably otherwise would have got. I don't even know if Dylan Andrews steps on the floor in the NCAA tournament if Jalen Clark is not is healthy. But still, man, Mick Cronin's done a really nice job with that group, man. Impressed.
Well, and to be fair, too, you look at a guy like Amari Bailey. If he's on a different team, he probably has a bigger impact of a freshman year all the way through, but he's on a team with a couple of seniors, well, 3 seniors, Singleton 2, that are outstanding, and Jalen Clark, who's a veteran too. So it takes a guy like that, even though he was a highly touted kid coming out of high school, you've got to find your role because the roles are defined for everybody else. You've got to kind of carve out your niche and kind of prove because, you know, this isn't stepping into a team that really needs you. This is stepping into a team where – you know, most roles are pretty well established.
Amen. And that's tough to do for a guy who had huge expectations, right? He's expected to be a one-and-done guy, an NBA player, yet he has to – excuse me, Bill. The other part of it that we haven't really mentioned is playing for Mick Cronin is not easy, bro. I have been in many a shoot-arounds and practices and have seen Mick Cronin get in the face of Amari Bailey and all the guys – Tiger and Jaime aren't immune to that. There, he is tough on those guys, but he also loves them. He has a long-term goal in mind, and Amari Bailey has delivered. One comment about the matchup coming up, Bill, which I couldn't be more geeked about, dude. You're not going to find a dude who is more excited for UCLA and Gonzaga than this dude right here, man. I wish it were in the Elite Eight or the Final Four, but I'll take it any way I can get it. The most interesting thing about UCLA playing Gonzaga is Drew Timmy and the way he's playing right now, and Adem Bona. And the reason why I say that is because Bona, for as good and as athletic and what he brings to the UCLA interior, that athleticism, that length, the shot blocking, what Adem Bona does not do very well is play disciplined one-on-one defense. And what do you have to do against one of the best, like the Kevin McHale of college basketball, Drew Timmy? You have to be disciplined. You got to stay down on shot fakes. You got to do your work early. I haven't seen Adem Bona be challenged in a way that he's going to be a challenge like this. He only plays half the game, so Kenneth Nuba, his backup, is going to take plenty of reps against Drew Timmy as well. But I'm curious to see if the freshman can really stay down, stay disciplined, stay out of foul trouble, because I believe if the UCLA Bruins hold Drew Timmy to 20 points or less, the Bruins are going to win this game.
I like Gonzaga for some reason here. I don't know what it is, because I'm a big fan of Tiger Campbell and a big fan of Jaime Jaquez. But I don't know. It just feels like this is a year where nobody's talking much about Gonzaga. There's not the expectation on them there's been the last 6, 7, 8 years. I don't know. Timmy being a veteran, they played pretty well. I don't know. I kind of like Gonzaga in this. Maybe it's their depth. Maybe they go a little bit deeper than UCLA does. But I kind of like Gonzaga in this matchup. What about you?
I mean, I like UCLA more, but I understand what you're saying. I mean, Drew Timmy's been around. Julian Strother is legit, and Anton Watson is good too. So Gonzaga's front line, front court, is better than UCLA's, with the exception of Jaime Jaquez Jr., if you want to put him in, yep, in UCLA's front court. I think, though, that UCLA's back court, particularly with Tiger Campbell, is just more steady. When I look at Gonzaga's back court with Malachi Smith and Hunter Salas and Nolan Hickman and Rasir Bolton, they have a potential. Like, all those guys can shoot it at certain times, but they have not clicked, man. I've watched Gonzaga enough to know that that's not a well-oiled machine. That's not how I would describe it. I would describe it as talented, potential, but none of those guys have really stepped forward in a way that give me total, complete trust. And, you know, when you compare it to Tiger Campbell, who I probably trust more than anybody outside of, like, I mean, Jamal Shedd, the point guard for Houston, I feel the same way. Like, I trust him completely to run the offense and do what he's supposed to do. But I haven't seen it from Gonzaga's backcourt against the best teams that they have played. Not against WCC guys, but against the best teams they've played.
You know, a game I'm kind of sneaky excited for, and maybe I just got excited by the way that they played the other night, I'm kind of looking forward to Houston-Miami. I think that could be a fun, frenetic game.
So I'm excited for every game, but I would not put that game on, like, the top three list for me in the Sweet 16, which, by the way, Bill, is personally my favorite round. I know a lot of people love the first and second rounds because it's like wall-to-wall basketball. Like, I get it. You wake up at like 9 a.m. to like midnight. It feels like there's a game or two games all day. That's cool. I understand. But the Sweet 16, we get rid of some of the riffraff teams that are kind of pretenders, and we get into the real nitty-gritty. We got elite matchups, out-of-conference teams that we haven't seen play. The Miami-Houston matchup is fun. I'll grant you, like, Miami hasn't been talked about a lot because they play in a down ACC conference, but that backcourt is legit. They play both sides of the ball too. I don't want to poo-poo on their defense, but like the way Isaiah Wong and Nigel Pack and Jordan Miller, by the way, who I didn't even really know much about before the season started, averaging 15 points a game for them, and a senior. This is an old team for Jim Larrañaga, but I like more of the Alabama-San Diego State. That's my second favorite matchup in the Sweet 16, just because it's an oil and water matchup, defense versus offense. Let's go. That's the kind of stuff that I love to see, and I also want to see if San Diego State can kind of, you know, break through. They already broke through the ceiling. Brian Dutcher, their head coach, got his first tournament win, then got his second tournament win. Can they burst through an Alabama team that's just been a monster all season long and all tournament long. Can't wait to see that one.
You know, my friend Gordy Chiesa, the longtime Jazz assistant, coached with Rick Pitino and others at Princeton and other places, he picked that as his upset of the Sweet 16. He's got San Diego State beating. He thinks they're men versus, in some way, boys, and he's picking Brian Dutcher's guys to beat Alabama.
I mean, I love it. We're talking about a top five defense in America going up against the most balanced team left in the field in Alabama. You know, can they do it? Yes, they can. But here's the thing, though, Bill. Like, can San Diego State score? Because we know that they can. They'll be able to slow the pace down a little bit, right? They got to take care of the ball. Because if you allow Brandon Miller and Javon Quinterly and Clowney to get out in the open floor, say goodnight. It's over. But San Diego State is not going to – this game is not going to be 55-60. I'm, like, pretty sure of that. This game is going to have to be in the 60s or possibly the 70s. And I want to know if San Diego State can do that, because they don't score over 70 very much. They scored 70 against Furman. Okay, but they have, before Furman, they didn't score 70 points in their previous six games in a row. And I wonder if they'll be able to keep up with the Crimson Tide.
If we're picking a quote-unquote Cinderella to get to the Elite Eight, FAU or Princeton, who's got the better shot?
Well, FAU has been the better team. FAU has been a top 25 team. They broke into the top 25 late in the year. I've been really, really impressed with that group. Of their nine top scorers, only one of them is a senior. This FAU team is not only good this year, they are going to be ranked in the top, I'm going to say 15 in the country in preseason, unless some of the other big boys pluck their guys away and they go up transfer. But, like, have you seen John L. Davis play? This dude is awesome, man. 6'4", sophomore, can shoot it from three, get to the rim and finish in the trees. He is my, like, surprise player. I didn't watch hardly any FAU basketball, Bill. I'm going to be totally honest with you. There's only so much basketball I can watch, man. So I can't watch Florida Atlantic games. But now I'm watching them play, and John L. Davis is one of my favorite dudes. I think a lot of people are going to try and get him in the transfer portal. But I'm curious to see if he returns for his junior season next year and what they can do against the Tennessee squad. Look, who's going to absolutely grab and hold and clutch and do everything they can to slow that game down. Can't wait to see it.
You saw a lot of Big East basketball this year. Can Princeton beat Creighton?
Yeah. Of course, Princeton can beat Creighton, but I don't think it's a good matchup for Princeton. Creighton is very tough, and they can be physical, and they have one of the best defensive rim protectors in the game. For the last 2 years, Ryan Kalkbrenner, 7'1", junior for the Blue Jays, has been one of the best, if not the best, rim-protecting 7-foot dudes in college basketball. So Tosin Awoma, the Princeton stud, isn't going to be able to just, you know, score at will at the rim. The thing to watch for Creighton, they rely so heavily on their starters. They barely go into their bench, but every one of their starters is dangerous and can score. And what we've seen is they've already had two different players reach 30. Ryan Kalkbrenner had 30 in their opening game, and then Ryan Nemhard, their point guard, had a career high 31, I think it was, in their second game. And that is par for the course. I've watched Creighton enough to know you can't key in on one guy. And I'm telling you, Bill, in this matchup, watch for Baylor Shireman. He's their three guard. He's like 6'6 or 6'7, who has yet to break out in a big scoring game. He's got deep range, and I think he is ready to burst out. I'm predicting he's going to go for over 20 in this game. It's a tough matchup for Princeton. He's big for his position, so look out for that.
Casey Jacobson with us here for a moment or two more. You're on ESPN 700. All right, we've got the mulligan now, the Sweet 16. I'll let you redo your Final Four. I don't even know I can't remember who you told me a week ago was in your Final Four. But now that we're here, we've got a mulligan. I'll give you, we'll wipe the slate clean. Tell me who's going to Houston after this weekend, Case.
So three of my four initial Final Four teams are still alive. So I'm not going to bail on them now. That would be crazy, right, Bill? So I still have Alabama.
Okay.
I still have Houston. Okay. And neither one of those teams has given me any reason to doubt. I have UCLA. However, watching the way UConn has flexed their muscle in that West region, I'm sweating it. I'm certainly sweating it out right now. I do have UCLA and UConn meeting in my bracket in the Elite Eight, so I feel really good about that. But I'm not sure if UCLA can overpower them. But I'm gonna stick with them for right now. And then, yeah, the region that everybody I think got blasted on is the East. I mean, like all the brackets, my family does brackets, my friends, nobody got the East region right, so I get that. But I got to go with Kansas State. I have to. They're the most fun team to watch. So I'm in the business of fun. They're just more fun than Tennessee. I got to say that. And I do think that they are way more talented and way more athletic than Michigan State. I got the Kansas State Wildcats moving on in the East. That'll be fun.
All right, fair enough. Your fellow Cardinal, Mark Madsen, had a really nice thing to say. I'm questioning whether I should tell you what he said. I don't want to blow your ego up even more, Casey, but I think I'll tell you what he said about you. I said, Casey told me to tell you hello. He said, well, Casey Jacobson was one of the four most influential players in Stanford history. You, Brevin Knight, and the Collins twins, he said, were four of the most influential people, game-changing people, program-changing people in Stanford history. How about that?
Oh, that's really nice of him to say. I mean, Mark deserves to be on that list. And if we're being honest, I also have to put a couple of more. I mean, Todd Lichty in the late 80s was really important. He was like the first kind of superstar in the modern era for Stanford, an Australian. And Adam Keefe as well. Adam Keefe played with Todd, is a little bit younger, though, than Todd, and kind of carried that torch and also made the NBA. Like, there weren't a lot of
He played for the Utah Jazz. Everybody here knows Adam Keefe. He played for the Jazz.
Yeah. Yeah, and up until, like, Todd Lichty, by the way, played in the NBA as well, but a little lesser known because he didn't play for the Jazz in the NBA Finals and stuff like that. But Adam Keefe kind of showed that, you know, you can be a nerd and you can also be a professional basketball player, and that both of those things are okay, Bill. I wouldn't have gone to Stanford if that kind of stuff didn't happen. Adam Keefe going to the NBA, Brevin Knight getting them to the Sweet 16 and to the NBA. The Collins twins were from Southern California, were McDonald's All-Americans, could have gone anywhere and decided to go to Stanford. And me, as a guard, I was friends with the Collins twins. I wanted to play with good big guys. I did. I wanted to play with guys who can play inside out, could set screens, could score in the post to make my life easier. So I got to play with Mark Madsen, Jason, and Jaren Collins. Are you kidding me? Those guys made my life easier. But I appreciate the sentiments that Mark said. Mark is truly one of the most nice human beings that I know in my life. He's incredible.
Yeah, we talked for about 15 minutes earlier. His guys are in the NIT quarters, and I know you know that because you may be seeing him if they get by Cincinnati tomorrow, get down to Vegas. But he's truly just a friendly, good dude. That's Mark Madsen all the way through. And a good basketball coach, too, by the way. But on top of it, just a good dude.
And as good of a guy as he is, he was equally as crazy and wild and competitive and maniacal on the floor, dude. Mark was like two different people. Just the biggest, softest, cuddly bear off the floor. That dude got on the floor, and he was everywhere and, like, setting illegal screens and throwing dudes out of the way. Man, I love that so much. Loved it.
Casey Jacobson, thank you so much for jumping on, as always. I'm like you. The Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight are my favorite two rounds of the NCAA tournament. As much as upsets are fun, I like to see an occasional Cinderella with great chalk mixed in, too. So I hope we have a good one this weekend. Thanks, Case.
Thanks a lot, Bill. Have a great week, man.
You too, man. That's great. Casey Jacobson, who's also a good dude, joining us here on the program today.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.